today I'm going to try to do a trilogy of things. Hopefully it'll integrate. If it doesn't, then we'll blame Joseph or Michelle, not me, okay? Just joking. So what I want to talk about today is leverage, upside leverage, and I want to try to do something. Hold on just 1 second. I'm opening my water bottle. I want to talk about a concept that is a derivative of all I stand for, but that I really never fleshed out very well. And we started it and we never finished it, which is, I did a lot of experimental things that, like this one. We may or may not ever do another reshaping. But it's sort of cool because we took the concept of leverage marketing and we started looking at how, think of it, I use this word a lot, and think of it as a font that keeps cascading and cascading and cascading into all kinds of different elements. And the big theme here is that everything you do, in every way you do it, with everyone you do it with, internally and externally, has within it, it is replete with leverage. Usually under recognized leverage. Correspondingly, if it's not recognized, under utilized leverage. And that if you first recognize all these leverage points inside, outside, everything you do, and you start carefully and conservatively experimenting with how to multiply the impact, the result, the yield of the leverage that, that naturally exists, the combined effect can be profound, simple, but very, very little understood. Excuse me 1 second while I drink some water. So we started this concept. We did a couple press releases, and I was going to create the thesis, and I never did. So today we'll create a very, we'll call it a down and dirty version of it, just so you can get more excited about your life. And then I want to have a discussion with you about a very troubling discussion I had earlier today with Robert Hargrove, the man that you have listened to before. And then I want to have another discussion with you about the purpose of the remaining 7 or so sessions we will do. But let me try to get into this because really it's fascinating, although I've not visited it for a couple of years. So my concept was original, and it wasn't original. I was working on press, and this really bright guy that I know who's older, and he did all the promotion for Capitol Records when the Beatles first came, and he's really smart, really inventive. And he said, I think you should call this leverage marketing because you look at everything from the maximum ethical vantage point of where the biggest leverage lies. And I thought about it, and I thought, that's pretty cool. And I started playing around with it, and then we didn't do a lot except for press releases that I never really develop the next level. But here's the concept. Everything has leverage. So when you are hiring people, there is leverage. Now, what kind of leverage could be in that? Well, most people are interviewing people for a job. When I interview people, first thing I want to do is see what they can teach me that I don't already know. I want to see how they look at life differently so I can understand motivation. I want to see what skills they bring, and I want to understand how those skills were used before so I can evaluate whether that's a skill set that should be applied. Now you hire them for a job. I want to see how much leverage we have instilled in the job. Do we have a success process that has been codified? If the answer is no, is there anyone else doing that job, or was the person that did that job before, whether he or she was promoted, took another job, quit? If there is goodwill, hold on a minute. Pardon me again, I'm sorry. Can we go back and try to codify and formulate the maximum success process? And that is a dynamic concept, because you start with what's called a control process or control system, and it's the best you've got right now, but you're always moving the bar and the needle up higher and higher by adding to it, assuming that then you get a training modality that is the optimal you know right now. Do you train them just in the proficiency of the job function, or do you train them in how to interact with people, how to communicate, how to listen, how to have meaningful conversation, how to move and motivate people they have to work through and with to higher action? If you don't, do you know how? If you don't know how, do you know who knows how? If you don't know who knows how, can you figure out who knows how? For example, there are people like Sally Hogshead, who's got a methodology on being fascinating. There are people like, I can't remember the guy's names in Utah, wrote the books on critical conversations. There's Peter Goober wrote a book about how to tell stories and analogies and metaphors. There's Greg Link and Stephen M. R. Covey, who wrote both Speed of Trust and Smart Trust, on how to harness the maximum trustworthiness to move people to enormous levels. And I can go on and on. There's two or three people, Larry Binet, who's really good at teaching how to connect with people. One of the fallacies of hiring people is everyone is obsessed with hiring talent. Very few people are focused on growing and developing talent. If you are a small entrepreneur and you are on limited budget, trying to hire superstar talent is probably improbable. Maybe, but hiring superstar developmental talent is really easy. So you have to look, where's the leverage? So now you got the talent, you're developing it. Now you got the knowledge that you've gotten from knowing a different interview. If you're trying to compete in any world, where else is leverage? You can go on LinkedIn, you can go to your vendors, you can go to your industry and figure out who else is in the same business you are in, or who was in the business and left. You can find them on LinkedIn, you can ask your vendors, you can look at your industry, you can find people with knowledge that you can interview. You can interview them for a job, you can interview them to be a consultant, you can pay them for their time to just see what they know and who they know you don't know, because knowledge is power. I apologize, I don't have the phrase precisely, but in an email that I wrote and in the opening that I wrote for one of the books I endorsed on Paid to Think, I said we're paid in our life to outthink our competition. We are paid in our life to use our minds and our mental capacity at a higher level than others. And that requires strategic thinking. That requires critical thinking. So let's continue with this odyssey. So now where else is leverage? We haven't even started with the marketing yet. So when you market, you have a multitude of things you are doing. You market through, if you follow my belief, you have multiple approaches. Whether you do it or not, it's your business, your life, your future, your financial outcome, your sense of control or being controlled. But right now, however you market, look at where the leverage is in the marketing. Let's look at all the leverage points. And I'm just giving you a few of them because it's very fascinating content. So leverage one is in whatever you're doing and however you're doing it, because it's very rare that you don't have enormous upside improvement. Now, I don't want to go too deep today, but we are going to do an exercise for about a half an hour that I'm going to see how well you listened. And if nobody responds, I'm going to stop the call early. And if people respond, we're going to continue the call, because I'm not doing this for intellectual entertainment. I'm doing it to transfer to you the depth and breadth and most meaningful thinking that I've never expressed before, that have been residing in the catacombs of my mind and heart for a long time, that I want very badly to make yours. So back in the marketing, there's a number of leverage points. First is just the macro marketing. Let's say you have a sales force. They can be internal, they can be external, they can be captive, they can be contract, they can be exclusive, they can be non-exclusive. Each of those factors has different leverage in it. You have to look at it. They are captive and internal. Are they working with people that come in or call in, or are they out calling? Have you tested? Have multiple of different variables. Have you tested different ways to embrace people when they walk in or when they're on the phone? Since we tested 33 different ways to meet people at the front door and found one outproduced the rest by 300%. Have you tested different ways of advancing the relationship? If it's a multi-communication contact or multi-decision maker sale, have you tested a multitude of sequential communications or selling elements, call, letter, email, links, that's sequential to see what happens? If they have trouble reaching somebody, have you tested different messaging that leaves very powerful value-based answers, or provocative, sustainable, and progressive communications that build on? When they get them on the phone, have you tested different premises, different propositions, different preemptive ways of addressing issues ahead of time? Do you have a way of defining, distinguishing, and delineating your product, your service, your company, your people, your alternative, if you're selling against other different forms of the same means the means are different, but the result is the same. For example, you sell supplements and somebody else sells weight loss equipment or training or gym. Have you tested what you can do to accelerate the purchase? Have you tested what you can do to upsell the purchase? Have you tested what to do after the purchase? If you've only got one product or service, have you tested making arrangements with other people who have additional complementary products or services? Now, I haven't even gotten into the multiple impact points that are leverages within the transaction. I don't want to go too deep today because I'm going to give you a headache. However, there is everything from when we used to do the company in Mexico. They had prospectors who would find the lead, they'd pass it to the cell closer, the closer would make an appointment. We found about 25 breakdowns that I can list on another session that no one had ever thought about, each one of which was a leverage point back to selling. So how are you driving the relationship? Is it cold call? If it's cold call, is there a way to leverage cold call? Maybe you find somebody who's got a list, or somebody who will endorse you to their list, or somebody who will be an influential advisor that you can say, that person suggested you'd be someone worth talking to, or that person said that people on his subscriber list were some of the, well, you know, the most health-minded people, or the most high-performance people, or the most stylist, whatever it is. Next, if you're looking for the database, how can you make the database, provide more performance yield, more leverage? One is better list. Two is endorsement. Three is substratas within a list. You take a list, maybe a list is a million names. Within those names, depending on the origin, if it's a generic list, you can pass it against other lists where you can find commonalities. Let's say you sold clothes. If you have a list of a million men who are professionals, just as an example, and you pass it against another list of men who subscribe to Gentleman's Quarterly, and you pass that against another list of men who bought clothes from some of the people that sell shirts and things online, that would probably give you a higher viability and probability list to start with, and it's just pragmatic thinking. If you generate in-calls or walk-ins from media, what media do you use? How can you make the media more high-yielding on the basis that makes the most sense? And if you don't know what basis makes the most sense, you can't leverage the opportunity. Most sense might be quality over quantity. Most sense might be a split. Because of a smaller business that needs cash flow, you might need two separate tracks. One might be people who come in and buy things that are more profitable initially to give you short-term cash flow, but those people may not be as valuable on lifetime value and long-term. Conversely, you might have another offer that is not as profitable front-end but produces enormous back-end. You have to know the game you're playing and where the leverage lies. If it's media you're using, can you move the cost from fixed to variable? That means either giving people compensation based on leads or leads against conversion, maybe a base for every lead against a higher amount for every sale. Can you, if you sell something that they want, use barter instead of cash to get the media so you reduce your cost of acquisition? Can you, if you can't do that, can you do other things with the media to make you more of a hero? Write an article, send people something else that's prestigious to the list before you just mine it for the lead. If you're doing electronic, what else can you do? Can you put a bonus or an incentive for responding or coming in or talking on the phone? We've done everything from giving people a gold ingot if they would spend 15 minutes on the phone to giving them a certificate for dinner to giving them a prepayment up front and invoking the law of reciprocity. Have you tested many things? I mean, the one of the most fascinating and exhilarating people that I ever met, and I'm going to leave you in suspended animation while I take another sip of my water, is a man named Drew Kaplan. Back in the 80s and 90s, he owned the most successful company in electronic catalog business. They introduced everything from DVD stuff to CD recorders to everything. And he took a $100, 100 investment, working in his dorm at college, and he parlayed it into a totality or an aggregate of $1 billion, 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, said. He would test media, he would test offers, he would test products, he would test prices. I seriously doubt that most of you have tested many variables in many aspects of your business. No matter where you are in your business, you can be a large business, you can be a small business, you can be a one-person business. But there's no reason that you can't grow that business through the most safe, predictable, and it's infallible. Infallible? Does that mean it doesn't fail? And that is asking your market questions. But very few people, everybody loves to listen to my methodology. Everyone likes the three ways to grow a business. Everyone likes the referral strategies. Pardon me, everyone likes preeminence. Everyone likes the 21 power principles. Everyone likes the 34 X factors. Everyone likes the sticking point. Everyone loves the concept of testing. Everyone loves the concept of being preemptive and preeminent. Yet almost nobody does much with it. One of the most fascinating things when we were in the seminar business big time, and obviously, you know, 50 of you on this call is not a 1,000-person, $5,000, or a 300-person, $20,000 seminar like we used to do. Hold on. Pardon me. We would do a lot of progressive seminars, which were evolved basis of the same fundamental. And our salespeople would call and they'd say, well, people say, I already know all that. I've already heard all that. I want something new. I want something different. And I'd say, okay, ask them, say, fair enough, but why don't you, before we terminate the conversation, I know Jay will be very excited since you already know and you must already have applied, executed, exploited ethically everything he showed. Tell us about the last 50 or 60 things you've tested. Tell us about the 30 or 40 strategic alliances and partnerships and relational capital strategies and relationships you've established. Tell us about all the different pillars you've got going and all the different applications within those pillars and sub-pillars. Tell us about all the things you're doing to be preeminent. Tell us about how you're using influential people. Tell us about how you have overcome all, and people would melt because they did none of it. And I'm not suggesting you've done none of it, but I did get a message from Carlos, a person, saying there was a surprisingly large number of people who signed up to you, avail themselves of the fact that he bought you, we bought you, but he was the initiator. The first module or two of that $60,000 program, and that very few people completed it. And even though the simple moral, ethical, integrity-based compensation we ask in exchange was you agreed to complete assessment or a survey, that almost nobody did that. And it's an indictment of, when anybody on this call says to anyone else, to their family, or non-verbally thinks to themselves, I wish this business, I could figure out how to grow this business. I wish I was making more money. I wish I could make this something more joyous. I wish I could grow this. You must also think, I wish I wasn't a hypocrite, because you have within yourself the power to do anything you want. Everyone's got the same 24/7. Everyone's got plus or minus a few intelligent points, relatively same mind. How you use your time, how you use your ability, how you use your opportunity cost, how you use the credible upside leverage that exists in a relationship. So let's continue with leverage a little bit. I've never even talked about this, so it's sort of fun. Pardon me. So let's say that you do online marketing. So how many different sources have you tested? How many different positions, copy points, headlines, or just if it's a limited banner or a keyword, how many have you tested? How many people who are competitors with you on those keywords or banners have you gone to and tried to buy their non-sold prospects or their sold prospects? How many people that run in the same category but offer something different have you tried to joint venture with? How much earned media are you trying to get? And earned media is media that you get for nothing because of either incredible content that you make available or extraordinary blogs that you create that people link to. What value do you create above and beyond your competition? If you don't want to be a commodity, no matter whether you sell the high end or the low end, then don't be a commodity. But you can't not be a commodity if you do everything the same way everybody else does it and you don't distinguish yourself. There's a document that we used to give away with one of my clients, and it was an excerpt from one of the Napoleon Hill books. I don't believe it actually was from Think and Grow Rich, although it might have been. And it was called Going the Extra Mile. And it talked about all the people who super achieved, and that most of them did things at a higher, better, different, more distinctive, more impactful, more profoundly obvious and visually significant way than everybody else. But if you want to be better, you have to do things better. The secret of life is there's no secret. There's no secret. So let's look at more leverage. So now you get a buyer. How do you enrichen the relationship with that buyer after they have purchased? Do you do extraordinary things to acknowledge them? Do you contribute other things? Do you speak to them differently than everybody else? Do you take them for granted and think that just because they bought ostrich-like, they're always going to be there? There's no one else trying to basically ply them away from you. There's nothing else that they're attentive to. Do you really believe that to be a truth? Do you relish them? Do you really and truly, in a preeminent way, fall in love with them? Do your people treat them special? Do you have time to keep developing and processes to enrich the relationship? Do you look at categories of buyers and analyze where they came from to see what unique correlations, implications, anomalies? Maybe you've got one category of buyer, one source of buyer that buys lots more things, lots more often, lots longer, and you've never known it. Maybe you've accidentally become a meaningful provider to a segment of a market, a generic segment, doctors, bicyclers, and you've never targeted those. Do you have anybody on your list who is influential and has their own list or has influence? Are you leveraging testimonials and success stories? Are you getting quotes from people to reaffirm to other peers that what you sell is real? Are you trying to get media? Because I may have told you that I've had, I don't try to get it anymore, but I have USA Today 3 times, Success 5 times, bunches of other things. In candor and truth, it never got me a lot of clients. But reproducing and sending those to everybody who is interested in me or posting them on my website gets me preemptive advantage, because all things being equal, if the media has written many times about me and the media has written no times about your competitor, who looks to be more powerful? Are you within your market, whether it's a local, a national, an industry specific? Are you trying to be a thought leader? I give you things like, Maven, are you doing it? Are you really working on distinguishing yourself, on treating your people like dealing with you is special and they are special? Do you have a very distinctive communication style and voice? I'm just trying to show you a little bit of a leverage in what you do. Are you exploring and testing new access vehicles to your market? Do you have, we used to call it a jackpot budget. That means whatever marketing budget you have allocated, you take 10 or 15% and you use it to try wildly innovative things that most won't work, but it doesn't matter because the few that do will be breakthroughs that can transform your business. You use that leverage of thinking? Do you pick the minds of other people in the same field who are not competitive? Do you know, do you have a list of everybody who does what you do outside of whatever your market is, anywhere and everywhere in the world? And you take time to contact them and say, we're in the same business, we're not competitive. I suspect you have insight, I don't, I have insight, you don't. Maybe in selling, maybe in managing, maybe in motivating the team, maybe in dealing with vendors, maybe in accessing the market. Let's share information. Do you leverage that? Do you look at all your competitors? Do you study their websites? Do you study their approach? Do you try to inquire and see how their salespeople sell you? If the salesperson's impressive, do you try to basically offer him or her a job? Do you look at where the leverage is in everything? Everything. When you go to trade shows, if you are an exhibitor, do you look at all the other people who exhibit who are not competitors and try to make strategic alliances with them for their list and for their endorsement? Do you go to trade shows and attend and see if you can make an arrangement with the conference provider to get the rights to the video or the audio or transcribe it and use segments to give away as value added to your market if it's appropriate? Do you form your own mastermind group in your community where you find other non-industry successes who you collaborate with and discuss your problems, your opportunity? Joseph, does this make sense?
Yes, Jay, that makes a lot of sense.
This is Michael. I don't know if you can. This is pretty amazing stuff, Jay.
Pretty simple, but I've never talked about it before, so it's...
Did you hear me, Jay? I said that makes a lot of sense. Sorry if I was on mute.
Thank you, Joseph. Yeah, I mean, it's, I just find it, I was talking to Robert Hargrove today, it was troubling. He said, Jay, I listen to you, and you work your heart out, but he said, I don't know if the people really want what they claim they want, and I must reiterate, not to annoy you, incense you, offend you, appall you, diss you. I have no time in my life anymore for people who talk about what they want but are unwilling to really pursue what they want in a strategic way, because that's what everyone else does. I do not believe in your business world that you really have viable competition. I think you have clutter competition. I think you have, a generic competition. But if, when, and after you decide you have no competition because you are going to think and act and transact at such a rarefied strata of differentiation, of contribution, of appreciation, of value contribution, you can own your market. You can own your market. So how many of you have thought about what you do and who you do it for and what other, either, there's two different ways to leverage this, whether products or services are purchased by that person before, during, and after they purchase yours, and gone to all of those businesses and tried to work a relationship, or even considered starting a business like that, a before or a during or an after, because people check those things out before they buy. So you have another access point, and it's possible to have a business that doesn't make money, but it's a lead generator and a preemptive access vehicle for the other business. How many of you have literally looked at what else you can offer to leverage the front end and the back end of a business? When I used to do the three ways to grow a business, I used to make a very profound graphic visual illustration. And the graphic visual illustration was, what would happen if you made it easier to start the relationship? What would happen if you added one more dimension of purchase revenue that was more expensive and advanced at the end? And those two dynamic differences could double or triple or quadruple or quintuple the business. But the point I am trying to make, and I'm going to continue for a little while, is that there will always be outrageous and enormous leverage in everything you do if you wish to recognize. But that leverage is tragic leverage because it's rarely recognized and it's far less than regularly actuated. And when I'm on these calls, and when I ask for perspectives from doing your homework, we get very few. When I ask for perspectives from what we talked about, we get very little. Now, honestly, I care enough not to care. And by that I mean, it is not my life, it is yours. It is not my business, it is yours. I am not the one who has committed 24/7, my future, my what defines me, my self-esteem, my financial security, my fulfillment, my children and family's well-being, to whatever enterprise I am running. You are. I'm just the one trying to make that commitment better, but I can, the old adage about bringing someone to water a horse, but they don't drink. I am trying today to provoke you positively. I'm trying to show you that you have the world by, you know, what do you want to call it? The tail. You have your hands around whatever part of the world you want, but it's useless if you don't initiate. I have high blood pressure because I worry about everybody. When I take my medication, I have good blood pressure. I had prostate problems. And when I took my medication and finally had an operation, most of my problems abated. But if I didn't take action, problems don't get better. They don't resolve themselves. Well, they do resolve themselves. Your business erodes and erodes and erodes till it becomes so marginal that you either retire, quit, or take a job, or end up just pervading your capital. If that is the fate and the destiny path you so desire, then you don't have to do very much to get there. If you want to be in control of your destiny, if you want to lead and lap, if you want to basically have the time of your life, doesn't mean it's going to be instantaneous, but everybody wants a new drug. I mean, I remember, and I think we put it somewhere, but Fran Tarkenton one time did this wonderful, wonderful 20-minute soliloquy for me by phone at a seminar, and the theme was wrestling the bear to the ground every day. And I've used the analogy that you wouldn't get up, well, most of you wouldn't, maybe some of you would, you wouldn't normally get up and not basically go through a processional series of actions for your bodily being. You probably wouldn't get up and not, you know, urinate and defecate and shower and shave if you're a man or a woman, and brush your hair and brush your teeth, and you probably wouldn't not eat something to sustain yourself. And unless you're very unique, you probably wouldn't go to the office sometimes at 9 and sometimes at 1. You probably have some discipline, because you knew without that discipline that if you only did it one day and didn't do it 5 other days, then your life would become a ruinous mess. But people don't put the same discipline into growing their business. They definitely don't put it into marketing and strategy. Let's talk about more leverage that you have, because there's infinite leverage in all this. How have you utilized your business in your relative community? And again, it's a very broad spectrum, because each of you is operating at a quite a different level of scope and market target. But to give you the ultimate, when we had realtors before, when they sold a house or were a party of any sale, we made sure that they did 3 things. When their client was moving, no matter where the client was moving from or to, as long as it was localized, they would give a party for them in their neighborhood, a farewell party. When the client moved, they would give a community come and meet us party. When whoever bought their house, even if it was not my real estate agent's client, would move into the house, we would throw a party for them because their agent was too cheap. He or she would probably give them a $12 bottle of wine. That's what ours did when we let them sell a $600,000 piece of property. They gave us a $12 bottle of wine. And I laughed. I thought, okay, I guess if that's what you think the transaction and the relationship is worth, it's great. But you have leverage in everything. We had realtors, we had car dealers that would give pumpkins and free to everybody at Halloween for their kids, and they would buy Christmas trees for their clients and not make them, you know, they'd buy them wholesale and give them to them free, and they would give ornaments, and they would have people that they paid to go decorate their lights. I mean, what can you do that blows people's mind? That's another leverage. And is it a good investment? Well, I mean, is being preeminent, is being so positively different that not only does everyone love you and tell everyone else about you, but the media talks about you. If you have a product or a service that can be very greatly benefited from other influencers, do you leverage that fact? When I got started, I went to Nightingale Conant, and I had them go to all 100 of their top business authors that they published, and I offered to spend 1 to 2 hours on the phone consulting each one. And I asked in return nothing more than if it was a positive experience, and they were willing that they would endorse me. If it wasn't, that was fine. And they could wait not just to endorse me because of the theoretical advice, but wait until they saw whether the advice paid off. I sent about 500 people a copy of my $400 book. When we did the book for David, the Go In and Paid to Think, I paid $12,000 and sent it to a very selective group of influencers. When I was in the gold investment business, we would send all kinds of wonderful educational things that weren't just about gold. They were about investing, about retirement planning to people. What do you do to acknowledge how special your market is in your eyes? How do you leverage everyone else's knowledge base? How much, have you ever looked at your time? Let's talk about time leverage. A lot of ways to do it. You might remember my discussion in the past about the effectiveness coach that came to one of our programs. Hold on 1 second, because I need to take another swig of water. Okay, I'm back. It was pretty profound, and I've said this before, but hearing it intellectually and doing anything with it transactionally is very different. What he said was, I asked him, what's the one biggest distinction that most people don't even realize that would leverage their performance, their effectiveness, their productivity, their outcome? He said, it's really actually very simple. Figure out the three most important things your business pays you to do for it, even if you're a one-person business. And then break it down, those three elements, to their sub, because everything's got sub processes. And then value rank your performance on three criteria. One, relevance, the other, competence, the other, passion. You may be the damn best person at monitoring time cards, and you might catch errors and people who are trying to take advantage, and you might be really great at it, but is it the highest and best use of your time? You might be capable of doing something that you're really not competent at, and you have to work your ass and your heart, and you have to harness and mobilize so damn much energy to be mediocre. That's stupid, because you want to operate all of your life not in the mediocre zone, but in the extraordinary zone, in the magnificent zone, because that's where exponential performance comes from. You might be reasonably capable of something, but you're so dispassionate about it that you have to utilize so much energy and continuous self-discipline, because it's boring. Find somebody who's great at it and pay them. If you don't have money and you're a little person, find somebody who's retired or a stay-at-home mom or somebody who's got flex schedule, and give them a deferred payment based on growth, or based on success. There's always a way. Next, in looking at leverage, whose bigger problem can be solved by you figuring out how to solve your problem? I don't know what your problem is. You probably don't know what your problem is. You might be looking at symptom but not cause. Do you need more salespeople? Somebody else has got a sales force that they sell one thing, or they've got relationships they don't use. Could you engage them to penetrate either the same market you penetrate, but from a way you don't do it if you don't have salespeople, or different markets? Are there people who left someone else that you could hire? Are there people in other markets that have produced selling, marketing, operational, cash flow, production, fulfillment processes that are better than you that you can find and license from them? Do you have things you can license to other people? 1 second. Joseph or Michael, what time is it right now?
11 o'clock, Jay.
Okay. I'm going to talk for about 10 more minutes, and then I'm going to stop. Because I have found that when we talk for 2 hours, my hope is we'll talk about stuff you've done in the interim. Truthfully, most of you do not do much in the interim, and it's not a condemnation or castigation. It's just a clinical observation. I'm a clinician. I would rather, if you really and truly allocated 2 hours a day, force you to take action before you go back to the insane day-to-day status quo of your life and do something with what I'm saying. Because if you look at the power of geometry in a business, I have just identified, I don't know, 25, 30, 40 different activities or leverage points out of probably 400, and the odds are you don't avail yourself of many or any. You remember the three-way to grow a business, 10%, 10%, 10% is 33% in our example with $1,000, dollar sale in two. Well, if you were to leverage not all of these points, but 10 of them, the geometric impact is off the effing chart. It's off the effing chart. It's off the effing chart. But it's only off the effing chart if you do anything with it. So let's talk about some other leverage points. How do you use your time? There is a book. Okay, so let's talk another thing that's really hilarious. Another man that I knew, and he's deceased, but brilliant man, Bill Brooks, wonderful man, former college football coach that became a masterful sales trainer, and he died very young and unfairly. I always try to find the one big leverage point that is so elegantly simple, but if you do that, it's going to change your results. I ask him the same kind of question that I asked the performance enhancement man. And he had a great answer. He said, almost everybody has a relational Rolodex back. This was back before your database on your phone of, some hundreds of people, maybe 1,000, but they do not regularly and systematically communicate with them. If you committed to talk to everybody on your, what I'll call, Rolodex relational database at least once every, and you can fill in the blank, quarter, 6 months, and you contacted them, and your purpose was, first of all, to ask them what was happening in their life, in their business, with their family, with their profession, with their career, with their, industry, and then you listened and you told them what was happening with yours. He said it's statistically impossible that there won't be enough connections and references and needs that will occur that it won't produce a 40% increase in your business if you just do it diligently. And he said it's the most enjoyable thing that can be done. And when I shared that, people go, oh, another time. And I say, whoa, let's see. 400 people divided by 3 months. Let's see, there's 4 to 1/3 weeks in an average month. There's 5 days in a week. 5 times 4 1/3 is 20-something, let's call it 25. 25 times 3 months is 75. 75 into 400 contacts is, who's my mathematician? 4, 5. Means you got to make 5 contacts a day. Can you do it on the way to work? Can you make your lunch a little shorter? Can you do it on the way home? Can you get up a little earlier? Can you stop monitoring the time cards? Next leverage, very important. Look at the last month of your life. Chronicle and clinically look at how you have invested or dissipated every hour of every day at work, on the way to work. We have another story I tell, and most people, they hear it, and they say that, yes, that makes sense, then they immediately dispel it. We had it one of our programs in the UK years ago, a young man who had set, and he still holds the European Guinness World Record for selling more products products. He was in the electronic business, per square, whatever, foot or meter in Europe than anybody else. And he had a very large company, and he and all his managers were driven around always in chauffeured automobiles. They had Rolls Royces, Bentleys, Jaguars that chauffeured them around. And he was confronted by some of the audience about how arrogant it was that he did that. And he stopped and he said, look, is your time, this is long ago, worth more than $10 an hour? I've told you guys this before. If it is, why would you want to waste 2 hours of your 8 or 10 a day being basically doing $20 worth of service when you're probably a $500 an hour person? I don't care if you drive a Jaguar. I don't care if you drive a Yugo. I don't care if you drive a Kia. Have somebody drive you and use the time to either think, to talk, to read, to clear your head, to think about big strategic issues. All you have, I mean, the most precious resources you have, your time, your opportunity cost, how you utilize them. And that's not just you. How do you leverage everyone else ethically? How do you leverage your team? The big corporations spend 20% of their income sometimes retraining and retraining their people because they understand the leverage in human capital, in talent. Entrepreneurs spend almost nothing. Their idea of training is teaching you the product line or teaching you, you know, okay, when somebody's got a question, you throw them to this person or that. It's almost a joke. It's almost a joke. Let's talk about some other levers. It's looking at the performance metrics of everything and everyone and knowing how good or bad they are so you can know how to play to the advantages and compensate the disadvantages. It's doing the same with yourself. I mean, literally, there's a delusional and a laughable misperception in our lives that we have to be omnipotent. We have to be godlike. If we're entrepreneurs, we have to be great managers. We have to be great talent recruiters. We have to be great salespeople. We have to be great marketers. We have to be great relationship builders. But we aren't. Now, that presupposes two things. You either allow yourself to perform mediocre and suboptimal at everything, or you choose the two or three paths of leverage. Path number one is to figure highest and best areas to improve first, and improve them if you really believe you can take yourself from mediocrity to greatness. If you can't, then find other resources. They can be employees, they can be joint venturers, they can be intermediaries to do what you are not good at or what your people are not good at. I mean, there's nothing I'm talking about here that isn't pragmatic as hell and critically thinking logic, and yet I'll bet none of you do it. Let's talk about my power Parthenon. The two things everybody wants to know about. Three ways to grow a business and all the 50 or 60 elements within each category. Power Parthenon, how to build multiple impact and access points. How many have you done? How many have you applied? How many do you have working for you? How many different elements within the first way on the three ways? How many different ways are you bringing in prospects and first-time buyers? How many different ways are you trying to ethically improve the sale? If you don't have products or services to add, how many ways are you trying to find them? How many ways are you trying to continue the sale? If you don't have anything else, how many products or services have you acquired? The other three-way I've told you about is leverage. Is that every year you add one more product, every year you add one more market, every year you acquire a competitor, or you acquire a complementary business, and you do it on an earnout. Have you done any of that? I mean, when people go, oh, I tried everything, nothing works, oh, and every time. You have all the time in the world. I mean, Richard Branson only has 24/7. Warren Buffett has 24/7. I mean, when I'm really depressed and feel that I'm up against a mental impediment, I drive to areas where I see extraordinary achievement, skyscrapers, expansion bridges, just amazing things. And I go, my impediment is peonic compared. But you have to understand highest and best use theory. That means you use your time, you use your ability, you use your organization, you use your access, use every facet coming and going to maximum ethical leverage. That's my message for today.